You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Bareback Facts. Now, I want to tell you all that today we have a very special guest. I've got a singer, songwriter, Susie Q. Anthony, who's going to come on and talk about her music. We've got, for those of you just tuning in for the first time, I do have an exclusive interview with Susie Q. Anthony, singer and songwriter. She's going to be talking about her latest song, Maritime Loop. We're going to talk about her work, the challenges that she faces as a singer and songwriter, as well as pianist. And we're going to, before that, we're going to play some samples of her music, some clips that she gave us to play. She's going to be calling in about 4:45. As always, guys, I'd like to remind you that we do have a guest call-in number for all guests at 718-508-9883. So if you guys want to interact with Susie once she's called in, do keep it clean, do keep it appropriate, but feel free to call in and ask her questions about her work. I'm sure that she would be quite happy to answer them. Now, I'm going to play some samples of her work, and we'll go from there. Hopefully, we get her to call in as we agreed upon. I know she's got a lot going on. I've got a lot going on. So let's take a look at some of these clips that she sent so you guys can get a feel for what kind of music that Susie plays. And when that's finished, hopefully, she'll have called in. We can get right to the interview.
Okay, this is a new song. It's called Sand Dance.
Thank you.
guys enjoyed that first piece that Susie shared with us. Now before she comes on, I'm going to play the second one that she shared with us, and she's got a brief introduction to this one as well. And I hope you guys enjoy it as well. And then once she calls in, we will get to the interview. I've just talked to her, and she is getting ready as we speak. So do listen to this second clip, guys. Hope you enjoy it as well.
Hi, guys. I just wrote the song called, almost said Bioluminescence. That is wrong. This song is called, what the hell is the song called? Maritime Loop. And it's, as always, kind of ocean-themed, you know, and this came out of nowhere, this song. I got, you know, just the words and the music just flowed right through me, and I was like, you know what, I need to record this, because if I don't, while I'm sitting here jamming it out, if I don't record it, I'll lose it. So I thought I would share it with you. I hope you find this healing. This song is kind of for twin flames, and people that like water-related stuff, just whatever, you need some healing, that this song's for you. And I hope you like it. I'm going to do my best to play it for you as best I can. Again, remember, this is an experiment. So I kind of warmed up with it a little while ago. We'll see if I can... Oh, good Lord. Hopefully I'll be able to replicate it, you know. I think this will turn out nice.
Thank you. And that was Maritime Loop. Hope you like it.
All right, everybody. We're going to be waiting just a little bit longer, I think, for Susie to call in. She's getting herself ready, and hopefully this is her right here, actually. Let's see if it is. I've got her music played.
Hi, Dallas.
Hello, Susie. How are we doing?
I am good. Did I say your name right, or is it Dallas?
Nope, it's Dallas. You nailed it.
I said it right. Okay, cool. Very good. How are you doing?
Nailed it right. Not bad. How are you doing?
Very good. Very good. If you hear the ambiance of the traffic going by, I'm parked under a tree, and there's all kinds of noises, so you can enjoy the fun audio in the background.
We get a little bit of background music from day-to-day life every once in a while around here, too.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get started. We played through your music, Susie. Tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel.
Okay. Well, the YouTube channel, it's kind of a private thing that I post on my Facebook page, Q Color. That's my music page there. So everyone, please like and subscribe and, you know, leave some love there. I normally post, like, anything that I do that I record fresh, it goes straight up on there, or it will go up on my wall, on my Facebook wall, on my Susie Anthony Facebook wall. So I try to kind of spread, you know, the different places that I post, you know, for more exposure. And, you know, the goal is just to share it all as far as it can possibly reach. And fortunately, I've made a lot of friends and contacts from all over the world. So it's really cool. Like, networking is such a cool thing. Social media, you know, it's really amazing how you can, you know, make friends and, you know, meet people that you would never meet, you know, but by the power of the internet, you could, you know, you just meet really cool people. You meet crazy people, you know, you meet some pretty bad people, but you can meet some really cool people. So, you know, it's all about networking and, you know, spreading it as far as I can. Now, I do have an older YouTube channel where I used to be in a band called ESP. So I do have, if listeners and you'd like to take this information down, that YouTube channel is called, it's just like it sounds, ESP, ESP4U2C. So it's ESP4U2C. And it's got the band I used to be with, and it has us playing at Cafe Orlando quite a bit. So that's a fun channel. But lately, I'm just pretty much focusing on, I'm doing something different. I'm not really as much in the spotlight like I used to be. Like, I don't play out live as much. I kind of, you know, do the social networking. You know, I record in my room, and, you know, I make original music. And really, my message is peace and love and, you know, unifying. I'm trying to get, you know, basically melt division in the world, you know, in the U.S. and overseas, you know, abroad, you know, and that's really my goal. I like to quote my friend Rhonda, who really should run for president. I took down a quote that she gave me, and it's like the perfect way to describe it. And she said, "We all share the same sun, moon, and sky, and if you forget, just go outside and look up." You know, so really, you know, we all bleed the same blood, and we're all, you know, we're all one human race living on a little tiny blue dot. And so the whole thing is, you know, melt division, and, you know, my message is pretty much brotherhood, peace, and unity. And that's what I hope to do. Accomplish with my poetry and my music. I want to touch people on a very large scale.
You're pretty ambitious. So tell me a little bit about, you know, we've listened to some of your music. Obviously, I played the clips that you sent me. Tell me a little bit about your poetry and how you got into that. And then let's delve into how you also got into music for those that are not familiar with you.
Okay. Well, starting off, let's see. I actually started off, my grandmother, she's so awesome, bless her soul, she got me a little tiny honking organ. I forgot what the brand is. but it was just this little thing that honks, and it also has these little boxes that you can press that are chords. And so I learned how to play music by ear when I was 4. Oh, wow, there's a bird chirping in the background. Very nice. Anyway, so I learned that when I was 4, you know, like I used to play with the radio, you know, Duran Duran and all this music from the 80s. That was my era. And so my ear would just kind of tune into what I heard on the radio, and I'd play along and I'd sing, and I'd have church in my bedroom when I was little and force all the neighborhood kids to come and listen. I'd lock them in and, you know, just kind of jam out for them, and, you know, they had to stay. They were my little prisoners. It was fun. But, yeah, so, you know, as time went on, my parents got a piano, an upright piano from my grandparents, and no one played it. Everyone kind of looked at it as furniture. And so then I would play, instead of playing the little honking organ, I'd play the piano. And, you know, again, I'm learning to the radio, so I'm learning how to play chords by ear and, you know, just pick up on what I heard and then create my own thing. And so really, it didn't really start with poetry as much as it did just sounds and tuning my ear to everything and learning how to sing and play that way. And so as time went along, eventually, you know, after I finally developed my skills enough, you know, I kind of got the confidence. And when I was in high school, you know, I got into all kinds of, I was in a band called Flagella, which shout out if anyone from Flagella is listening, you know, and, you know, played with some kids from school there. And, you know, then there were like these bars that would let you in, you know, reluctantly when you were just barely of age, you know. And so I used to perform there, you know, different places in Tampa or St. Pete, you know, some local bands would like have me sit in, Dolores Telescope and different local awesome acts that kind of, you know, to me are the grandparents of the music scene, you know, in St. Pete and Tampa and stuff, and kind of took me under their wing. And so I did a bunch of stuff, everything from like acoustic to rock to electronic music. I was all over the place. At times I would even do some hip hop music, and that went into like even like 2016. So, you know, it's just been an expansion, you know, and then playing places and theaters and clubs and coffee shops and you name it, you know, I mean, nothing like on a grand scale, you know, but just different venues, you know. And then eventually I was in a band called Pickles Are Blue, and I was in a band, I was in a band called Auditorium with Joran Oppelt. And we played excellent musicians and excellent people, and we all played at different local venues and theaters and things like that. And, you know, really, they were a lot of the foundation of who I became musically, and I grew so much, and I learned how to kind of work with other musicians, kind of like when, you know, when other people are doing their thing, you know, you kind of back off with your instrument and stuff like that, and really an enriching experience. And then I was in a project called Pandora's Trigger, and we did a kind of like some heavy metal stuff and just a mix of all kinds of like hip hop and heavy metal, and you know, there was even some classical stuff thrown in, you know. So it's really been like my teenage life into young adult was really a soundscape of learning and growing and playing with excellent musicians. And I like to do some name throwing. You know, I have some really great friends in the music scene, and Ronnie D has helped me a lot. Black Honkies. There's a lot of local people, McLean and Jericho Turnpike. There's just a lot of people that have really just been a great support. And I've never actually said this probably out loud, but man, I appreciate these people, you know, because they're a lot of, how I've grown, and you know, they've really supported me in doing my thing. So now I'm kind of like on my own. Let's see, the poetry came when I moved north. I moved from Oldsmar to Port Ritchie in, God, time is a blur, isn't it? 2015. I don't even, oh my gosh. Sorry, my sometimers is kicking in. But yeah, you know, ESP broke up and I ended up moving north. And, you know, and then came a lot of just writing in my room, writing and playing and doing stuff that was other people, just kind of like playing around with other people's songs and doing my own renditions or creating my own music. And it's all about healing and helping lift other people. And, yeah, you know, it's like uniting people on a global level, but I'm also a hopeless romantic. I'm just such a romantic, dreamy type of soul. So, that's where Maritime Loop came from. And I think that kind of Maritime Loop really just kind of, I've written poetry before, but Maritime Loop is where
when you say you're a romantic, do you mean in the conventional sense, as far as literature and art goes, that you are a big proponent of romanticism, or would you say that you would say that you're romantic in the more popular culture sense? The way that people would sort of view a romantic now, that you have what many would view to be, you know, traditional, you know, pie in the sky sort of ideological views, as far as, you know, more towards humanism and more towards humanitarianism.
Yeah. Humanitarian Aquarian is me all day long. And you know what? I would have to say, my friend, I would have to say all day. Like, I'm just, Valentine's, okay, here's the deal. I was born on February 7th of 76. And Valentine's Day for me, you know, it really doesn't matter the partner aspect of it. It's just like, I'm just a loving person, period. You know, and I just believe in peace and people smiling around me and stuff like that. So that's what I mean. But you know what? I mean, when it comes to, I guess you could, to answer your question, I would probably say yes to all of the above, you know, peace, love, and chicken grease, you know, I don't know. That's pretty much good old Southern
peace, love, and chicken grease.
That's right. Yep. And I, you know, I've always felt too, like, spiritually drawn to do something bigger. And, you know, I don't want to be offensive to anyone listening, you know, I'm kind of a liberal Christian, you know, and I just kind of like, I follow what I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to do. And it's just like, lately it's been like, you know, this world is a mess. And, you know, not just in the U.S., but worldwide, there's a lot of beautiful things that happen that aren't covered in the news, but there's a lot of discord and division. You know, I hear about resurgence of KKK in Alabama, and I'm like, what? You know, this is, what's wrong? You know, we've gone backwards. We've come so far, and now it's like we're going backwards. And I want to be the person, you know, just this little me. I want to be the one to kind of help, you know, see my little piece in this world, and we all have our little lights. And I want to be someone to shine and work to help heal versus work to divide or just turn my face the other way. You know, I want to be part of the solution and not the problem, pretty much.
Well, you know, just speaking from the position that I'm in, just play a little devil's advocate as far as, you know, people talk about the way that culture is changing. It's, you know, we're taking steps backward instead of forwards. And I've heard this argument a number of times, but the thing that a lot of people don't understand is if you pay attention to history, and I've paid a great deal of attention to it throughout the years, I should know a lot about it since I've got a master's in it.
Mm-hmm.
History tends to run in cycles. Cultural changes tend to run in cycles. There are numerous examples of this. You know, for example, let's just look at the concept of romanticism. For a long time, art was considered to be something that needed to be uniform, and it needed to focus on very, very specific themes. And in this time period, we would call that the Baroque time period. And then that led into the classical time period, in which they kind of got away from it a little bit, but then they went right back to it. And then they kind of dipped away from it again in Romanticism, where we get beautiful paintings of landscapes, and we're talking about the human spirit, and there's this push for the zeitgeist, and there's this backlash against, you know, science, and we dip into mysticism, and then we get the Enlightenment, and then we get this, we get that,
mm-hmm.
and it's
yep.
back and forth, back and forth. Human beings uh-huh. are very extreme animals. They're very extreme as far as how their ideology shifts throughout the centuries. What happens now
uh-huh.
in the grand scheme of things, 50 years from now, it'll be a footnote. We'll move on to something different. We'll shift, we'll
uh-huh.
change, the tides will ebb and flow. So when people say we're taking a step back, we're not taking steps back. We're simply moving along the natural ebb and flow of humanity as it shifts along through time.
It's part of the dance.
Yeah, it's all part of the show. As they say in show business, it's all part of the grand show. You know, a lot
yeah.
of people get stressed out about where things are politically or where things
mm-hmm.
are socially. And the important thing to remember is 50 years from now, you know, things are going to be vastly different than they are. 10 years from now, things will be vastly
different.
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So people getting,
well,
you know, people get bogged down in those sorts of details. And you know, I mean, I understand, you know, where you're coming from. You want to make changes in the world. You want to be a positive influence on the world.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a positive influence in the world, but you have to understand that no matter how much positivity you bring into the world, you know, society as a whole, people as in general, they're gonna go down the path whether they want to go or not. You know, we are being dragged headlong through time, whether we want it or not. We're gonna go through these cycles, and you know, it's nothing that we on the individual level we can change the path that we walk personally. As far as a societal level, it's much, much harder to control what we do as a society. I think, you know, you might be familiar with some of the name dropping I'm about to do, but Mahatma Gandhi was
uh-huh,
considered
uh-huh.
one of the most influential men of his time. And even
yeah.
he struggled with this concept of, well, here I am in the midst of one of the greatest social movements of my time, but here my neighbors haven't caught up yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's because everybody
yep.
everybody is on the same, we're all on the same path, no matter what we believe in, no matter what we, you know, politically, you know, spiritually,
mm-hmm.
intellectually believe. You are a part of this
yeah.
great machine that is moving forward, whether you want to be or not. It's not a question
yep.
of whether or not you'll reach the destination. It's a question of when you arrive.
Yeah. And we, as society, I mean, we are one heck of we're a sampler platter. You know, we're like the mozzarella sticks, the chicken, and what's the other thing? But at Denny's, you know, go get yourself a sample platter. But yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
It is. And I think, to be honest with you, I guess the way that I would say what I'm trying to do is, you know, that's really what I want to do through my poetry. And the first thing that I really wanted to address before I go a little bit further into that is maritime loop. What I would like to do is talk to you guys about maritime loop. And did you air that song?
I did.
Did you air that one?
I did. It was actually
okay.
right before you came
okay.
in.
So they got to hear it. Okay, cool. Very, very cool. That song was written about a year ago, and it was based on 2016 on Facebook. Someone just dropped into my world, and I felt like I knew him forever, and he lives in India, and he is my twin flame, and this is somebody I've got like this crazy telepathic connection with, and we're really, really tight, and I was very inspired to write the song. And that song is really about, you know, it's amazing, like, how you can connect with somebody. Again, the beautiful World Wide Web, you know, you can connect with somebody that lives 9,000 miles away from you. You know, you can get telepathic hits at 2 a.m. where you wake up and you're thinking of them and they hit you up. it's pretty amazing, and, you know, I've experienced something really, I don't know, magical is an understatement, but anyway, I'm very inspired, and Maritime Loop is really about, like, past lives, and, you know, and I, who knows if those things exist, who knows, you know, but, yeah, you know, it's just, it's kind of incredible, like, connecting with somebody, you know, that you don't know, and but you feel like you've known them forever, and then you have this really, really, really cool connection, and, you know, being inspired by somebody that maybe you've never met in person, but you know them on a soul level, and so that is where really I feel like the beginning. I mean, I've written a lot of poetry in my life, but that song is really, it's kind of like, okay, well, if we've had past lives, and if things went left for a certain reason, and we only had like 2 years to chill, this song was like, well, you know what? I know we're bigger than that, and I think we can chill longer than that. So that was what that was about. And it's really, really a cool song about connection, and you know, how special it is when you support people, and when you touch someone live, and they touch yours, and if they understand unconditional love, and you do. You know, that's something that's very, very, very rare. And a lot of people, either they can't attain it in their life or they spend their whole life trying, you know. But if you got people to support you, whether you have one person or you have a group of people, you're richer than you could ever imagine. And so that poem sparked off my thing of like, wow, you know, like, okay, if I can write romantic in that way, as you're thinking, not like the whatever, the Baroque deal, but if that kind of feeling could inspire me, you know, my best friend, my twin flame, if that can inspire me to write things like that, because Maritime Loop has really rich content in it, I'm like, you know what? I'm supposed to help the world with this, you know, like I'm supposed to try to heal division. That's really my goal, is just prejudice and you know, just division between people here or across the world, and see if we can all really be there for one another. So that's what that's about.
Well, you know, that's a pretty noble goal, but yeah, you know, I think a lot of people would say that, you know, you might be setting yourself up for disappointment down the line because of the way that people just in general view their own world. You know, you mentioned you'd like to see, you know, prejudice and division go away, but, you know, I think a lot of people would like to see that go away, but they all have very different solutions for the problem. And I think the problem itself is the fact that we keep on looking for it, even in places where it doesn't exist. We want it to be there. And when I say we want it to be there, I say we have people that are striving to find a reason to not be happy with where they are, and they want something to blame. There's lots of people
in the world. Yeah, I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, I'll use this as an example, okay?
Yeah.
Years ago, I went to my work, the workplace at the time, not my current place where I work. But anyway, I brought in a dozen donuts. It was a small crew. I brought in a dozen donuts, and every flavor they had, maybe one or two that didn't, you know. And so I brought it in, hey, guys, I got donuts. And there was one person to say, but you didn't get my kind. You know, so it's kind of like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like there's always going to be somebody, God forgive me, I'm not going to cuss, you know, I'm bigger than that, to be or complain, you know, like somebody's going to, you know, people will find fault with other people. I mean, if somebody's perfect, if they don't vibe with, you know, if somebody's just doing their thing and just being human and just being a nice human being and someone attacks them, well, you know what I'm saying? People are people, you know, and on all levels. You know, balanced or imbalanced.
I think where we get lost as far as, you know, where we are as people is that people keep on forgetting that, you know, there's two kinds of ways of viewing society. And there's two schools of thought on this. There's a lot of people that look at society and they say, well, people are all animals, or just like all the other animals, are just a little bit smarter, and it's in our very nature to find conflict with one another over something, because what do animals do? They find conflict with each other for what? Food, resources, living space. At the end of the day, the most advantaged animals are always going to come out on top. The other way of viewing it is that human beings, because of their position, because of the fact that they have such a high level of intelligence, they're constantly looking for those that are both inferior to them and superior to them. Because the idea is there is something that we need to find. We need that in our lives. We need to, one, we need to have something that we can feel like we have overcome, that we are better than that. But two, we need something to look up towards. A lot of people, for some people, that's religion. For other people, it's other people. But at the end of the day, there's that inferior versus superior mentality that comes into play. So either way you slice it, whichever school of thought that a person happens to belong to, in that, I think that's one of the reasons, one of the major reasons why we continue to have the quote-unquote divisions that we see in society. Yeah. By and large, I don't really think, it's near as bad as what people in the media and people, in popular culture would have you believe it is. We've come a long way in
the hype.
200 years. All over the world, we've come a long way. Yes, there are places in the world that are very, very bad to live in. And yes, there are people in the world that suffer. But at the same time, we look at it as a whole. The world is in a drastically different place than it was 200 years ago. Even 100 years ago, 50 years ago. A lot of the root of our problem is human beings have not broken out of adapt or perish mode. They've not broken out of compete to survive mode. They've
That's
not woken
right.
up and realized that there's just a possibility that maybe, just maybe, there's enough for everybody. Maybe, just maybe, we don't need the resources we think we need. Maybe, just maybe, currency's not as important as we think it is. The great fear, I think, for a lot of people is if we eliminate the concept of competition, that we'll have disorder, that we'll have chaos, because what orders our society? A lot of people would say, well, rules order our society, but do they? Because people break rules, right? People would say that laws govern our societies, but people break laws. People say that religion governs our society, but there's a lot of people that aren't religious at all. So what is it that really governs our society? You only have to look on TV for about 5 minutes, maybe less than that, to figure out what really governs your society. What governs our society? Money.
Money governs
our society.
And I think there's not to interrupt you, but there's something else that I've noticed, because I've been through, it's an interesting thing. I was born in 76. Okay. I'm 42 years young. Some people think I'm 25, which is so cool. I'm hanging on
to
that as long as I can.
You didn't have to say that.
But the reason I say it is because I want to explain, I've been through so many shifts through the decades when it, when it came from the phone in the wall, the curly cord and the phone in the wall, there was really no computers used. We, as kids, we played outside. We had it was a very organic childhood, and, vibrant, and it wasn't all about in the computer. And somebody's trying to call in. I think it's a telemarketer. Anyways, so we went through I was born in the end of the 70s, came up in the 80s, which was a really awesome, fun childhood, and, like I said, very organic, played in sleigh, sat on a tether ball, and my dad would throw us around, my sister and I, around the pole, and the tether ball was really good, and, then later, the computers came, and things like that, and, I'm trying to remember where we were going with this, because there was a point of all of this. you were talking about something, and you inspired me to say something about all of this.
I
remember what it was. Okay, I remember what it was. In the 80s, I remember a time, and maybe it was just my city, I don't even know, but I remember growing up, people seemed to be, and I don't know if it's because of its pre-computer age, but a little bit more, I don't know if selfless is the word, but a little bit more giving, you know, okay, somebody is out in traffic. You would let them come in, and you wouldn't try to ignore them, you know, cut them off, not like give a person a chance, you know, and something's happened, and it feels like it came in when the computer age came in strong, like when it became like all about social media, a lot of that. And I'm not saying that all people are jerks, and I'm trying to tone it down for the kids, but I'm just saying that what we need to do, I think, worldwide as society, as a people, you know, is we need to reach out more to other people. We need to not close into ourselves and not take. We need to learn how to give and share. And when we get to that point, and when we heal ourselves and look at our own crap, and, you know, if we are able to do that, I think miracles will happen. I think once we work on our own issues, you know, stop pointing at other people and figure out, how can we add to this life and add to other people's life versus take or be so selfish that you don't even see the world around you? That's what's important to me. And that's what I kind of try to show in my music, is just kind of like, hey, you know, we're all here. We are all one people on the tiny blue dot. And this is all we've got. We've got each other, and we've got where we live. We've got one planet. We got to take care of our planet. We got to take care of ourselves, and we got to take care of each other. And so that's what this new poem. Can I read this new poem to you? This tiny sunshine song I wrote.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Because I think I played it, and it was on, it's still on my wall, Tiny Sunshine, and people really like it. But I think the poetry carries, I don't want to say more weight, because it's not like that. It's just, it kind of, I think it reaches home better than it does when it's being sung. In essence, what it's about is just every person, you have the capability, every person on this planet has the capability to reach in and shine, even if it's like we all have like little night lights in us, and we can all shine that, and we can illuminate when things get dark or difficult. We have the potential to shine a light in the world, and then if other people shine, then you know, you go from the nightlight to a flashlight to a floodlight to maybe a strobe light, you know, you're just to sunshine, you know. And that's what this is about. So anyway, it goes, tiny sunshine, it goes, the world gets dark, but we have light, this tiny sunshine we hold inside. Division is illusion, the truth is we are all unified. And it's time we help each other, we can heal the great divide. Beautiful colors, we are all connected side by side. Love is the simple answer when we melt away ignorance and pride. We can create an oasis, find a river, when sacred places have gone dry. Stand side by side forever, together sharing our tiny sunshine. And that's it.
Nice.
Yeah. So when I wrote that, I was like, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. So that's where it's at.
I know you mentioned some of your musical influences and some of your artistic influence comes from, you know, your beliefs, your own beliefs. And you mentioned at the beginning, you don't want to offend anybody. Well, Susie, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, on my show, you're allowed to offend anybody you want to offend. But if people don't like it, that's fine. Myself, personally, I don't hold any such belief. But that's my personal reasons for that. But I don't infringe on other people's, as long as, you know, they don't infringe on mine. That being said,
right.
I'm incredibly knowledgeable when it comes to religion. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I've probably read just about every religious text that there is in multiple forms. And one of the things that I have found to be almost a unifying thing within almost every religion, and you might feel differently about this, and many people within their own religious system do feel different about what I have to say. But in almost mm-hmm. every organized religion that we have, one of the common themes within organized religion is enlightenment and the realization you are, in fact, either God or you are a God. Ultimately, no matter what religious ideology that you practice, the goal is, and always has been, for every religious ideology in the world to achieve Godhood. Now, I want to give you an example, and and you tell me if it feels right, because I know you're Christian. A lot of Christians, they skim over this, and they don't really like this, but I want to try a little something here, and I want to see how you feel about it. This is actually from the book of Psalms. I'm sure you're familiar with the book of Psalms, right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
It's lots of songs and lots of prophecies. Well, in the book of Psalms, in chapter 82, there is a very, very poignant, very striking line. Talks about God standing in the congregation of the mighty and judging amongst all the gods, but it never says who these gods are until you get down to verse 6 of chapter 82. And before verse 6, they talk about God judging the wicked and doing so for not defending the poor and the fatherless, and he's telling you what you should be doing, right? Doing justice to the afflicted and needy, delivering the poor and the needy, and ridding them out of the hand of the wicked, all that good stuff. Then he says this, and the prophet in Psalm says this, "They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High God." Now, this is something that a lot of people just kind of skim over, and they say, oh, you know, that's just Bible talk for telling me that, you know, I'm a child of God. But that's not what it says. It says you are a God. It says you are a God. Hinduism, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but it is actually the foundational stone for almost every major religion in the world today. You can find themes of Hinduism within nearly every religion, including Christianity. Now, Christianity, I don't want to give you a huge rundown of its history, but it's a syncretic religion. I don't know how familiar you are with that term, but syncretic means that it takes from multiple sources to create its structure, ultimately. It's a religion that borrows from other religions. And you see syncretic religions all over the world. In fact, almost every religion in the world now is syncretic, almost in some form. There's very few that are not. But within Hinduism, which is, by the way, about guesstimated to be between 6,500 to 7,000 years old, so making it the oldest practiced religion to this day, one of the key goals within Hinduism is to reach this state called Atman, means and is literally translated to Godhead. And it ultimately means that you have reached a state of enlightenment. You've given up your ties to the physical world. You've given up on these emotional roadblocks that exist that would hold you back from enlightenment. These things are things like greed, things like fear, anger towards other people. Basically, the things that you would interpret to be sins. You ultimately cast those things aside, and you reached a point where you are now a god. You have become one with the universe, in a sense. You have gone back to the source of all that is and all that could be. You've become infinite. You've become possibility itself. Because this is going to loop back into something I think you're going to enjoy. It is my thought that human beings are gods, ultimately, if you look at it from this perspective. Because how do we define what a god is? What is a god? A god is change incarnate, right? Gods can do anything. Look at every mythological text you've ever read. Look at every single religious text that exists. Gods do incredible things, right? They heal people. They destroy things. They change the environment. They create. Human beings do every single one of those things, all of those things. We heal people, we constantly advancing. We're constantly getting smarter. There's vast we have vast stores of knowledge, and we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
Every single day we advance and get stronger and faster and smarter. We live longer and longer and longer.
Yeah.
Human beings are on the fast track to becoming God.
And yeah. Or going the opposite.
Well, then you got the
distorted version of that too. there's a lot of people destroying a lot.
Well, but what is balance?
Yeah.
One might say a God is balanced, right? Look at the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that the Old Testament is pretty much just ripped off straight from the Torah. It's basically the entire Torah. Okay, the Old Testament's the Torah with some minor changes, and that's not to throw salt in the face of Christians or anything like that. But it is.
No, I think that there's a lot of. I think, to be honest with you, not to interrupt you, and I don't want the whole conversation to be about religion, but I will say this. I do feel like a lot of the, all the religions, a lot of them have, this, like you were saying, the same basic themes and things. And I do know, in the Bible, man was given dominion over, nature, the animals, everything like that, And my thing is basically this, to simplify all of it and not to make it a big debate, because I just want to talk with you and, and explain to listeners what I'm doing, creatively where my mind's at, is,
I'm just wanting to get your perspective on it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I do see, and I respect it, because I'm real liberal, and I've actually, there's a lot of, enlightenment, if you want to put it that way, or a lot of I've learned a lot from all kinds of religions, all kinds of walks of life. I mean, I'm a very open person, but at the same time, it's for what I do, it must be rooted in love, and so that's what I try to do. And I think that I really think that if you want to consider, I get where you're coming from, like when you say about people, in essence we're gods, But the thing is this, if you have power, which we've got as human beings, we are blessed. We are blessed with so much power to use it for however we want it. The question comes in, are we going to be responsible with what we put out?
Spider-Man.
And so, I'm not going to tell anybody how they're going to live their life. Like, I'm the last person to say, hey, you should do this or whatever. Basically, I'm just trying to kind of bring some light and healing where it's needed, where people might feel in the world, or close to me, people I know or people I don't know, whatever. My big goal is to reach out to people and let them know, hey, you're not alone, and we're all in this together, and poetry and music, it may not be, you're sending all this money to people across the world or whatever. Maybe you're not doing anything really huge out in the streets. But I'll tell you what, if you can connect even with somebody on the internet, and you're present for people, you'd be amazed. It's like and I'm not going to give myself credit for this, but so many people that I have reached out, connected with on social media and stuff. And they appreciate me, and they don't even know me, or maybe they just found me, women that show up, like on my, not lesbians, but people that just show up, wanting to friend me and things like that, or people that are inspired. It's like, that really makes me feel really good. Cause it's like, right now it's like, I feel as though this is work that needs to be done, because where a person in their life, maybe they're feeling imbalanced or broken or whatever, I like to put out music and poetry to help heal and connect with people and lift them in that way. So I don't know about the whole God. I mean, I see where you're coming from. Me, Christian sense, because I'm not like a Christian in the box, like I really, really, really try to step out of the box. I'm like very liberal and very like, hey, we're all equal. I don't look down on anyone. And if, you know, when it comes to Jesus, he didn't look down on people. He embraced people. And that's another thing, you know, it's like, if I'm going to walk my walk and do my thing, I'm going to try to do it with integrity. So for me, it's more of like a, I try to take the teachings and implement them in who I am and my music. And of course you can't, you know, there are people that no matter what you do for them or whatever, if you, if it's music or kindness or whatever, some people you just can't, you cannot, you know, they don't, you don't see no sunshine in their faces no matter what you do, but you know, that's not on you. And that's something I'm learning. It's not on me. If I can't bring light to them, then there's a certain responsibility that other people have to take. But as far as me, you know, this is what it, the music and the poetry and what I'm coming up with in my message, I feel like it's important now. And I would even be down to like do live speaking engagements or, you know, performances here or abroad. I'm if people want to, you know, expand on the message that I'm trying to bring, because I see people trying to save animals right now. There's like something going, KFC going meatless or whatever. And I heard something about that. I saw this big thing in, on online, Jane, I forgot.
I mean, are they KFC
something.
If they go meatless though? I mean,
something about that. There's a big thing against anti or to don't kill, no meat, blah, 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 you know, and I get it and I feel it, you know, and I love animals too. I eat meat, but you know, I get it.
I'm sorry,
and who knows, maybe
taste it.
I love it too. I love it too. But, you know, I see both sides. I see both sides. Now, there, you know, so there's people that are working on that in the world to, you know, to save animals from being treated cruelly, you know, like inhumane treatment and keeping them the way that they keep farming, maybe. I guess it's agriculture. And for me, like, okay, I'm not talking about the animals, but I got another thing that I'm trying to do. And I know that it's like, okay, I'm like really the only person I know right now in the world, or maybe, well, in my little world, my little microcosm, that is talking about healing division among people. I see it a lot more now than ever. And it's, to me, from what I've seen, and maybe it's just the media hype, but there's a resurgence. I mean, there's a lot of good happening, but there's a lot of prejudice. There's a lot of unhealed wounds or anger. And, you know, people just got to really let go and forgive and embrace each other because, you know, who knows? You know, there's a thing, you know, if catastrophe or tragedy strikes, when you're in the middle of that, you don't see color. There was a hurricane that was supposed to wipe us out here in South Florida back in, I want to say November. Locals, correct me if I'm wrong. And I remember 2:00 in the morning, my twin flame hit me up right when I shot up out of bed. And he's like, don't worry, you're going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. But I'm checking the weather report. They said this hurricane, this category 4 or 5, is going straight to your street. Tudor Lane, you know, right to Port Richie. It's going to hit you, you know, right at your house. And I was mortified. So then the next day, what happened? Everybody was leaving the state of Florida to go up north. Everyone was driving, like it was the last, it was like the apocalypse. And it was like, okay, if you don't get out of Florida, and there was like a meteorologist said that you're all going to die if you don't go. So this, whatever that was, a category 4 or 5, big, right? And so what happened? The next day, I'm out in the world, and you just see everyone. It don't matter what color you are, what walk of life you're from, what, you know, it doesn't matter, because in a situation like that, everyone's looking at each other like, we're going to make it, right? You know, like we all got each other's back. We're all in the same boat, you know, we're all in a sinking ship, or at least you think you are. So, you know, so then, therefore, you know, all of a sudden, cut for most people, colors disappear. Like, you know, you're just, it's human. It's the human, you're just a human race. And that's basically my point. There doesn't need to be like a tragedy or catastrophe or something like that kind of thing happening. But I'm just saying, why not, when there's no tragedy, why can't we be that way with each other? So that's pretty much my message, my poetry, a lot of it is about right now.
Now, I know a lot of people, and you yourself have said this, you think that there's a lot of things that are coming, that are boiling over, that are resurgent. But, you know, I don't think that some of these feelings that people are describing as resurgent are actually resurgent. They never went anywhere. The only difference is now we're just paying attention more. That's all that is.
Yeah, it's coming to the surface.
People have always been, there's going to be people that are going to not like what I have to say about this, but it's true. There's always been people that have been racist. Always.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's always been people that have been cruel and hateful towards other people just because that's their personality, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been.
Yeah.
You know, those things have always existed. There's always been religious tensions. You only need to open up one book to learn that. There's hundreds and
hundreds and
hundreds of years worth of religious tension. That's nothing new.
It's true. And you know what, too? Here's the thing. Is some of that stuff is going to go on forever and ever and ever.
Yes,
it is what it is.
Just
you know what I'm saying?
Nothing you can do about it. Yeah,
that's right. That's
nothing,
what they
some
do.
Some of these problems. They're just not going to go away. And the thing is, you talk to some of these people who are at the center of these struggles, and they couldn't even tell you what the hell they're angry about. They don't even know. They have no idea.
Right.
Many of these people have no clue what they're mad about. They're just mad because their grandpa was mad, their dad was mad.
That's right.
Now they're mad.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
What and
it,
you know what?
They don't even know.
Yep. And they
same
don't question it either.
They don't. Same thing can be said for political, tensions that exist. People are talking about, oh my gosh, this last election was so intense. It was so brutal. Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Was it though? I mean, that's almost every election. Every 4 years we
run
this triathlon of just like, holy crap. I hate everybody now on my social media, Every 4 years it's the same game. I know there's
it's
a lot
the
of people
thing.
That don't they don't like the current administration. But I remember 8 years ago, they didn't like when that administration started. It's just like, nobody is happy.
Yeah.
You're not going to please everybody 100% of the time.
No,
but I mean, the last,
not.
Like, ever since I was a kid, and I was, I'm pushing 30 myself, okay? I've seen some pretty ridiculous elections. I've been around for two Bush administrations, two Obama administrations, and a Clinton.
Yep.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I've seen some things. And I remember growing up how angry people were every single time there was an election. It didn't matter who was running. They're like, you know what? Forget this guy. He sucks. I hate him.
Yeah.
I hate everything he stands for. What's he stand for? I don't know what he stands for, but I hate him.
So,
I mean, there's a lot of these feelings, I think, that part of it is, we as people, we don't want to agree on things, just for whatever reason, we just feel like we have to have some sort of superiority over our neighbor. We got to feel like we're better than somebody. But I think it goes deeper than that. I think a lot of these conflicts we have are just, they're just carryover conflict that we're just not ready to let go of.
Yep.
They're
It's totally, to me, a lot of it is just bloodline, and it goes, but the thing is that they don't question, like, nobody questions it, you just go with it.
Yeah.
But I think that, it would be really good if people, and here's another message I can put in a poem one day, but it would be really cool if, like, people really, really get in touch with themselves and start questioning, this kind of stuff, like, how does this make me feel? You know what I'm saying? Like, really look at things and not just kind of go with it. You know what I mean? Because I think that's a problem. And we're all human, so everybody goes through the same thing. But a lot of people go with things. They go with things. They don't question it, even if it feels wrong. They just do it because everyone else does it, and that's how we always done did it, And I think that people should really question it, because we're at a point. And we are, at least at this point in the dance or in the, how did you say it, the show? At this point,
we're in.
Yes. This is kind of the darker side of the cycle. I'm very empathic, intuitive. And I think that's why I get hit so hard with it. It's just because, I'm like, well, wait a minute, and my spirit senses and everybody kind of has their own sensitivity, or maybe they have their walls against it or whatever. But, you know, like, there's something in me that goes, hold on, what, wait a minute, you know, like, there's got to be something we can do to maintain, or at least I can do, to bring light into a super dark place. And I personally, I don't watch the news. I used to a lot, but I finally get to the point where, like, man, you know, I want to see something positive. I don't want to hear about terror for the rest of my life. I just, you know, and it isolates me, and it's good to be informed. But at the same time, I keep myself from a lot of false, you know, there's truth and there's false. And, you know, really, ultimately, you kind of got to go, okay, well, what, you got to really use your discernment a lot in life, you know, and I guess just try to, you know, like I said, what I'm trying to do through my music, and I'm not trying to change everybody. I mean, you know, whatever, be you, whoever you are, be you. But I would say to people, if I had any advice, I would say, be the best version of you that you can be, where you can add to this life. And even if you don't have any, like, treasures or a time capsule or something you can leave in the ground for future generations, like a treasure trove, you know, why not, while you're here now, while you have the second, while you're healthy and you're not dying, why not, instead of, you know, disconnecting or being angry or whatever, why not people just, you know, let it go. Let whatever, you know, the frozen song, let it go, you know, do it. Just, and then once you let go of your anger and your tension and your division between people, then you lighten yourself and you open yourself up to receive so much. And in that way, everyone wins. You know, it's not just you. It's like your friends win, you know, your neighborhood wins, your countries win, you know. And if people, even I would say, I'm going to say only one political thing and I'll leave it there. I would say if people in politics were a little bit more yielding, you know, a little bit more outstretching versus a little bit more aggressive, like, you know, like, and I can speak for, I'm not going to target one person. I'm just going to say, you know, just in general, if people were a little bit more focused on peace, love, and connecting, even in an administration, watch how things turn. I've seen the Dalai Lama recently, you know, like, I watch these people and I go, wait a minute, you know, where are the people in the United States? And let me tell you something. I've got some great local musician friends. Holler to all you guys locally in the Tampa Bay area that were friends and musical family, really. But, you know, they really are bright lights in the community, and it's a beautiful thing to have lights in your community, but to have a place in the spotlight, even on a big stage. Imagine what it would do for not just the United States, but the world, you know, so it's good to do that. And somewhere, I don't know. I mean, it's like, I watch these Marvel movies, you know, and sometimes, or like I watch what my favorite comic book, DC Wonder Woman, you know, and I watch all of it, but Wonder Woman is like my hero. Thanks. You know, but man, she's like my inspiration, you know. It's just like, do it. How come, you know, why is there not more people in the U.S. standing up for this stuff? You know, you can go to another country and watch, oh, this person stood up, man, and they really, you know, they were about that peace. And, you know, where, you know, I'd love to see that. And so I figure, well, okay, I'm not on a big, I'll just say this, I'm not on a big stage or whatever like that. I don't go out and play concerts. I used to all the time. I would play street festivals and theaters and things. I've played with amazing musicians. I've done that. But really, what's more important to me than fame is, you know, a message of unity through poetry, through music, through my paintings. I, you know, once in a while I'll paint. But, you know, just anything where it brings peace, and it's a gift to humanity. It just would be really, really cool to see people in the limelight. And it doesn't matter who you are, you know, whether you're president or you are an actor or actress, like a real person that, you know, that is in a big limelight or public figure to really stand up and go, yo, you know, let's turn ourselves around and let's learn how to really, really embrace each other.
Part, you know, I think you hit something there that should resonate with a lot of people is, you know, you don't hear a lot about positive things happening, but I think that's by design, right? I mean, the talking heads, as I like to call them, because I don't really acknowledge news outlets very often, because they tend to be, well, they don't tend to be news. They just kind of come on and they say, hey, guys, look at all this horrible crap that's happening in the world right now. And, all right, bye. We'll see you guys when you come back from break. Have a Dr. Pepper and we'll see you in a little bit. Like,
that's
got more
right.
terrifying things to tell you. Like, you know,
we'll tear that other guy apart after the break.
News. Huh?
Yeah. We'll tear that other guy apart when we come back from the break. You just wait.
Yeah,
eat your popcorn.
You know?
You know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think that's largely the crux of where we are right now as a society is ultimately the people that are doing good things, you might get a feel-good story every now and then, but there's plenty of people in the world that are doing good things. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not that there aren't people in the world trying to make a difference. It's not that there aren't people in the world doing good things or standing up for what's right. Or it's not even that there's people in political power that aren't doing good things and standing up for what's right and, you know, sticking to their guns and being honest and working with integrity. There are plenty of people with integrity that are doing good things in many different parts of society. The problem is...
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're not doing good things, it's that nobody knows about it because, by and large, most people that are in control of putting out news or just in general, and people in general, I'd venture to guess, just don't care. They're caught up in the latest trends. They're caught up in what's going on in their own life. And honestly, they're just looking for the next thing that they need to be absolutely terrified of, I think, most of the time. That's why I think people watch the news. They're just like, what do I need to be scared of today?
You know? But you know what? What a way to live. And here's the whole thing about it. Here's the kicker is if you don't know how many hours you have left of breath, like let's say there's been people known to just die in their sleep in the middle of the night. 20-something years old, you know, people that just, they're gone, or, you know, maybe you live 80, 90 years. Do you really want to spend what time you have left wasting your life like that?
Some people apparently
you
do.
Know?
A lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. Or they're just
That is the nature of the beast. But I think that's true, though. I think, you know, it would be nice to see more people doing good things. I think ultimately, you know, the onus is on the individual to do good things and not just because people are watching. The people that are doing good things and not being watched are still doing good things. You know, they may be like, you know, I will go the DC route because I love the DC comic book universe. They may be Batman, behind the curtain, behind the cowl doing good things. But at the end of the day... It doesn't make their sacrifice any less important than what it was. It doesn't just because nobody knows that you're doing something good doesn't mean it's not happening. It doesn't mean it's not important. Would it be inspiring to hear about? Absolutely, it'd be inspiring to hear about. But at the same time, you know, people shouldn't need inspiration to do good things. And this is one of the things that I've always said, as far as, you know, mythology and religion go, people say, you know, they're meant to inspire you to do good things. I mean, do you really need to be inspired to do good? Like, you just want to.
Right.
Like, it's in your nature as you know, as cruel as animals can be, it's in the very nature of animals, particularly those related to each other that are so close to one another, to look out for one another. It's in their very nature to do that.
Yeah.
You know,
look at elephants. they attend each other's funerals, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So, I mean, you don't really need anything. You know, it's great to have inspiration, but you know, if you're just waiting around to be inspired, and I think you hit the nail on the head with that too. If you're just waiting around to be inspired, get out of here. It's not going to happen most of the time, you
That's
know.
That's right.
People that do good things are not waiting around all day to be inspired. They just go out and do it.
Right. Right. And you know what? You don't need – there are people that do it and they have an audience and it's glorious and that it's a good thing. And then there's a way to do it, too, where, I mean, you know, you just kind of do, like you said, the behind the curtain of the Batman of the Shadows. I love it. But, yeah, you know, you just do your thing and you're altruistic and, you know, you can help somebody. You can really lift somebody, even if no one else knows about it. And the thing is if you touch someone's life with art, poetry, if you say something to them, you know, to just lift them up and stuff like that, how do you know that you can't take that person who's a wreck from being basically chewed up and spat out or maybe feels like that? Because I've been through a lot of it. Man, I've had some hard stuff, and everyone has, but I've gone through some real, real hard stuff, and it's in my life, and it's kind of amazing. I'm still here to talk to you, but I am, and I came out stronger because of it. But when you reach someone that has been through a lot and you can, you know, you can give them an encouraging word, even if it's one word, or you do a gesture or something like that. You never know how you can turn someone's life around by the smallest thing. And so that's really, I mean, like I said, I'm not doing what I do. I don't do what I do for fame. Am I interested in connecting with more people here in Florida, in the United States, across the world, that have that same vision? Absolutely. My twin flame, I mean, he's got his I feel as though we're very synced up in that way, because we're both, he's born one day before me. You know, it's just a humanitarian, altruistic view on life, you know, and you want to see other people succeeding and having good. You don't want to see them under you, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. You encourage one person, and you teach somebody, then you can lift them and they can become a leader like you, you know? So I know that's a lot of stuff that I've thrown a lot in this conversation, but
that's
it's
right.
What I'm passionate about.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, it's what I'm passionate about. And I feel like the world could use it. Will I change everyone? Will there still be evil people? Will there be people that don't want to hear it or don't like me? Yes. And you know what? I've tried so long. There have been so many people in my life. I've tried, you know, a lot of people. And some people won't hear you no matter what you say. They won't think what you have to say is valid. And then there's people that love you and will never stop loving you because of who you are. And my thing is, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to keep doing what I do. I'm going to keep my head up because I am a woman of integrity and I have a lot of love in my heart. And I'm here to make a good difference while I got time. And so if there's other people, you know, here or, like I said, across the world that want to do something, if there are people that have money to do something public with this and they want to and they want to join with me on that, I'm down with it, you know. I'm down for ideas in ways to really bring a vibe of peace. And, you know, and helping and being present for other people. It's something that I really believe in. And so I will just continue to do this through my poetry. I'll write more poetry, you know, different colors of the same rainbow, you know, and I will write music, because the melody can heal people as well. And so that's where I'm at. That's what I do. And I hope it doesn't sound too floaty for people, you know. I know I kind of get carried away because I'm like that. I'm like a dreamy Pisces person feeling, but I'm not a Pisces. I'm an Aquarius. What that means is I lie between the dreamy Pisces and the hardworking, grounded Capricorn. I'm an Aquarius, and I'm very proud of myself. And so I want other people to feel good about themselves and be there for other people as well.
So is it safe to say that you're pursuing an age of Aquarius over there, Susie? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Is that what you're trying to throw in there? Were we looping
maybe
towards the reference?
Yeah, maybe, but with less, like, fire flinging, you know, like, not
okay.
That rebellious. You know, there's, like, a rebellious stigma
okay.
that goes with it or whatever, but that's not the kind of thing. Like, I ain't out to take anybody out. I'm just out to help lift the people, you know, so...
You sure? You're not going to start taking me out, Susie? It's not going to get crazy?
Nope. No flame throwing, I promise.
Okay, well, as long as there's no flame throwing. Well, that actually might be kind of cool. Well, I've kept you as long as I said I was going to keep you. Susie, anything else you want to say before we call things quits for the day, and anything else you want to promote, anybody else that's listening needs to know about you and what you're working on? Where can they find your stuff? All that good stuff.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you. Thank you so much. You know, for finding me, through me finding you and helping me, you know, giving me, you know, this moment where my voice is really heard, you know, because it's really good. I have never, ever spoken publicly about all this stuff, and it feels really good to let it out and also reach people. I pray that I've reached people today. And just, you know, all the people that are around, you know, that are support. I'm not too sure how many friends I have in real life. I know there's people that support me and love me, and you know I care about them very much as well. And I'm as present, and I will continue to be as present as I can. And I just want to thank all of the people that support me and my family and my twin, and just everybody is glorious. And if you want to find me, anybody that wants to find me, you can reach me for the people that most of the people know. But if you don't know, you can look up Q-Color on Facebook, and you can see all my poetry, and you can see my music, all my videos, originals, and other stuff that I've uploaded, and inspirations, or you can get me on my regular Susie Anthony Wall, or you can look up on YouTube if you want to hear some like live rockin' music from the old band ESP for you to see. So you can do that, and I'm open to ideas. If any of the local people, you know, band people, non-band people, anybody from any walk of life resonates with what I have to say and, like, is really was touched by this interview, you know, please get at me, you know. And I love you people. and so many of you guys have been inspirations and, like I said, have been a foundation of who I am, not only as a person, of integrity and morals and values. You know, you've helped me become that. And also musically, I've had my back, and I'd like to do more stuff in the future and with a message, you know, and I want to hit the world with it. So if you're local or if you are overseas or whatever, and you believe in what I'm saying, you know, and you want to unite in this cause, you know, please show your support. You know, reach me, you know, message me or, you know, post or do something, show me. And we will continue to expand on this idea. And hopefully we can bring, turn tiny sunshine into a giant sunshine altogether.
All right. Susie, thank you for coming on. And if you'd like to come back on, get in touch with me. We'll schedule something. We'll set it up, bring you back if you like.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And,
thank you so much.
Yep, absolutely. Guys, Susie coming on talking about her music, coming on talking about her ideas, her views of the world, her goals. Follow her in all those places. I demand it.
And, and Susie, what's the other thing I'm on there? I don't post many selfies or anything on this, but Instagram. I'm also on Instagram. So I think that's Susie Q Aurora. Something like that, some kind of remix of that. Just look up, Susie Q Aurora, A-U-R-O-R-A, and you know, I post my pictures, and you can get to me that way as well.
All right, thank you, Susie. We'll be in contact.
Hey, thank you so much. All right,
thank you.
Take care.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Guys, appreciate you tuning in today. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Susie. She's got a lot on her plate. Promised I'd get her out of here. Plenty of time for her to get back to her working. She goes from one job to the next, just like me. There you go. She's a go-getter. Check out her songs on YouTube. Check out her song, Maritime Loop. Follow her on YouTube. And, again, follow her on all of her social media outlets. She's got a lot going on. If you're interested in her music, if you enjoyed her music, just give her a follow. She's always posting something new. And, that's all I got for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed the show. since we don't have any, didn't have any callers for her, I cut her loose so she can get back to doing what she does. See you all next week for another episode of Bareback Facts, guys. Take care.